All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and I have on the line with me one of my favorite people in the world, and that is Mr. Royce Isaacs. Royce, how you doing?
That's a wonderful intro. I have a lot to live up to now.
Well,
no, I'm doing great. I'm here at I'm here at LAX. I'm actually waiting for my flight. I'm going to be coming to Denver in like a hot second here.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of one of the reasons why I have you on. But before we get that, so last time we saw you actually in a Rocky Mountain Pro Ring, that was Milestone 7 against Anaya. Is that correct?
I think maybe there was a Alamo Draft House show that I did afterwards, but really the last major match that I had there was against Anaya at Milestone 7.
Yeah, and what a heck of a match that was! We didn't know really kind of a lot of, at the time, but you were kind of moving on to a little bit of other things. You moved to Los Angeles shortly after that to get a little closer to some other promotions and things that you've been doing, and tell us about that. Some of the other promotions that you've been going to since the move to Los Angeles.
Yeah, no. Funnily enough, I didn't tell Matt Yaden that I was leaving until I think right after that match.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool match to go out on. It was really physical and, I don't know, me and Anaya always seem to have some good chemistry in there. And I moved out to L.A. maybe, like 2 weeks after that. I'd already made up my mind while I was on my last tour of Japan that was the move I was going to do. But I hadn't really had a chance to, I guess, let the rest of the world know until after that. So I moved right after that. And, I was already working with Future Stars of Wrestling previously, but obviously it was a lot closer after moving. I started working with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood since moving out there. There's a lot of other places that are within driving distance I've been going to. Like Hood Slam is a place that I've been a regular at. So there's a lot of cool places that are in close proximity. And then I also just recently started working for Defy Wrestling up in in Seattle, rather. My first show for them was a Portland show. They're actually based out of Seattle, and they do shows at both Portland and Seattle.
Yeah. Well, you've even gone to other places. Like, I think I've seen you wrestle in Dallas, and I think maybe a couple places back east as well. So you're getting around, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been really cool. Two days before Christmas, actually, me and Jarrell Nelson, my tag team partner, we're the 1%, if people haven't checked us out yet. But we flew to College Station, so basically where Texas A&M plays, and we wrestled Killer Elite Squad 2 days before Christmas, which, I mean, Texas is definitely a big wrestling state. Lions Pride Sports, which is the promotion we wrestled for, is a big-time promotion out there, and getting to wrestle Killer Elite Squad is obviously a big, big deal, too, since they've had all their success in Japan and the NWA and everything like that. So, I mean, you know, it was like an early Christmas present for sure. And actually, I believe that match is online on YouTube and on Killer Elite Squad's website as well. So if you're looking for some cool 1% action and want to check it out, I would definitely recommend looking at that.
Well, okay. And then now, speaking of Jarrell Nelson, how did you get introduced with him and decide to tag team up?
You know, the interesting thing about that, you know, usually I would say, most tag teams are kind of formed organically, and there's some kind of a common interest there, and they're already, you know, close and whatnot. But, I mean, really, we are coming together, and our success to Joe DeFalco was kind of like Dr. Frankenstein, if you want to be, have a reference about that. He saw something in both of us. He saw some kind of a similarity. He saw something there. And he just said, hey, I think you two are guys that, you know, as a tag team, I think would really work together. And I've always trusted Joe's vision. Jarrell obviously has always trusted Joe's vision. And it was right before I had moved to LA, and it was like, well, it makes sense. We're both going to be living nearby each other. He's originally from the Northwest. He's actually from the Seattle, Washington area where Defy is. And he had moved out to LA a few years back. And I was moving out to LA, and it's like, well, I'm going to need a road partner for these future stars of wrestling shows anyways. And I don't know, we just kind of put our faith in Joe, put our faith in each other. We both knew, like, hey, look, they at least, you know, we at least can wrestle pretty well. We've seen each other's work, and I don't know, we clicked. Like, immediately after that, once we started getting on the road together, and once we started just BSing and whatnot, like, that's my dude among dudes right now. We get along, I don't know, our wrestling really works together. We have similar minds for the business. It's been really, really cool. So, I don't know, it just kind of worked out by you know, Joe DeFalco's evil genius plan, but I'm definitely blessed that it did, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, and so how did the name 1% come?
That was some collaborative effort, actually, between us and Joe. And I mean, honestly, I mean, real going into it, I was a little bit worried because obviously T3 had used that in the past, but I think we all kind of thought, oh, he's kind of moved away from that. It's not this big deal anymore.
Right.
And of course, immediately as soon as he gets signed, he goes back to, like, this is like his main thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, great. But I mean, it's whatever. There's like a million tag teams that have some form of like bestie or best friend in their deal. So it's like, why can't there be a couple of 1%ers?
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, he's signed and we're on the indies, so I don't think it should affect each other. If he feels some kind of way about it, I'm not aware of that. And if it bothers him, you know, I guess we can talk about that. But it's never, you know, been an issue, and it's whatever. It is what it is. It's not something that I really worry about too much on a daily basis. You know, I cross that bridge when it comes to it. Yeah. We're both doing well, so really, that's all that should matter. You know.
Yeah, and you guys have been a lot of places. You guys just recently went up to Defy and became the brand new tag team champions. Is that correct?
Yes, we are the Defy Worldwide Tag Team Champions, which is obviously, that's a huge accomplishment. Two-time FSW Tag Team Champions, and we're the current Best of the West Tag Team Champions. So we have, I mean, that's a lot of hardware. And I also have the United Wrestling, the United Television Championship from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Slash the United Wrestling Network. So my travel bag's quite heavy right now, which has been pretty nice.
That is pretty cool. So one thing I wanted to ask you about as well is you and Jarrell went to a taping for Impact Wrestling and got to face off against the Pillars of Destiny, and I think you might be familiar with at least one of those
I know
guys really
them.
Close.
Yeah, no, I know both of them. I worked on shows with Paul Titan back at New Era as well. So obviously,
okay.
I know Bill Gray, and I know Paul. No, it was cool to work people that wrestle with people that we knew. You know, we kind of went, me and Jarrell went to this tryout not knowing what we'd get out of it, but we ended up, you know, getting used, and that was really, it was a cool experience to get to, you know, wrestle for one of the major companies in the United States, especially so early into us tagging, because we've only been tagging for a little bit over a year, but it's just, you know, I don't know. I feel like we're just gelling really, really well. So
yeah. And
it's definitely a big wave of momentum, and it feels really good. So that was a big accomplishment for us.
Yeah.
And that match is on Explosion.
Right.
Yeah, if you check out the, I believe it's, like, there's like an app and stuff like that.
The Global Wrestling Network.
I know it airs in the U.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Global Wrestling Network. And I know it also airs in, like, the UK and stuff like that. So
right.
The feedback on that's been really cool so far. And hopefully, hopefully we get to work with Impact again. I would love to.
Yeah, well, they are doing another taping here soon, I believe, next month. So, you never know.
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
never know for sure.
So we got Defy, we got Impact Wrestling that you've been doing, and then, well, why I kind of have you on right now is because you are, like you said, you are currently the United Wrestling Network Television Champion, and this is going to be the first time that it's going to be defended outside of California out of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Is that correct?
At least for me, yes.
Yeah.
I believe some other people have defended it outside previously, but it's actually been a while since anyone's taken it outside of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And that's been one of my big goals since winning. I wanted to make sure to actually take it around to other places and defend it. I want this title to mean something, and especially because they just got a new TV title. They got a new strap, which is absolutely gorgeous, and it's all over my Instagram, at Royce Isaacs, if anyone wants to check it out. But, I mean, I want to, you know, they say, you know, does the title make the man or does the man make the title? I want it to be a mutual thing because that thing is gorgeous, but at the same time, I want it to really be something and mean something, so I want to take it around to various places. I want people to see it, and I want it to be defended. I want it to mean something, so it's really, really cool, especially to be able to do it at my, you know, I guess kind of my my home away from home, Rocky Mountain Pro, since it's been so long since I've been back. But, you know, familiar opponent, Mario Vanger, and, you know, a familiar setting. I'm pretty amped up.
Yeah, but I would imagine so. I mean, I bet you're extremely excited to come back and, you know, defend that championship against somebody you've had some great battles with.
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Mario's feud last time when I was a Rocky Mountain Pro Boy was, you know, that was some pretty fun stuff, and I think we created some memorable moments. I, you know, our barnyard empty arena brawl. Like the, I don't know, just some of the crazy stuff that we did, I thought was pretty different and pretty interesting.
The bags of sugar, the fish, I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Following him through the supermarket, it was pretty zany, man. It was, I mean, literally the Wild West sort of kind of in some ways. If you've checked out the entire feud, then you know what I mean by that.
Right, exactly. That's fantastic. So, but what else do you have going on in the near future besides that?
Well, obviously, I'm going to have to also, once I defend this title successfully this weekend, or this week, Thursday, for Rocky Mountain Pro, I also will be defending the Best of the West tag team titles February 9th. As well as, I believe I have another television title defense, assuming that I win at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on the 10th. So those are two things that I'm really, really looking forward to. Being a champion is great, but you also have to defend the belts and make a legacy out of that. So I'm on my my Anderson Silva war path right now, trying to create that legacy and defend those titles. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So I got an oddball question for you. So I don't know if you've seen around the interwebs, speaking of defending titles. So do you think the fans that bring championship belts to events should have to get in the ring and defend them?
What? I mean, no, it's kind of goofy. I think it's weird, but, you know, I'm weird, man. Let me think about, you know, the stuff that I can't fault anyone else for doing whatever they want to do. I would say that you don't really bring, like, I don't know, an MVP trophy to a football game, but, you know, or a Super Bowl trophy or whatever. But, you know, more power to you. I love that fans get so into it. I love that fans, you know, are literally fanatic, and I'm not going to hold that against anyone. So,
yeah.
I mean, you want to bring replica belts? You want to bring, I don't know, fish heads, you want to bring, I don't know, hot sauce canisters, I don't really care, man, just as long as you're a fan and you support, you know, go for it. Or if you want to bring like protein bars and protein shakes, then bring them to me, and I will definitely, you'll be the best fanatic, actually, in my opinion.
Oh, so. There you go. Way to get on your good
side.
Yeah,
that's me finagling it into a way for me to get something, if you can't tell how subtle I am.
Oh, right, gotcha. So, I saw recently, and now, I don't know if I get this right, but, you are a big fan of, like, crime drama kind of stuff. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. True crime
True
stuff.
crime.
I see now it's kind of like almost cool. Like people are like other people are getting into this and whatever, but I'll have you know that this has been something that, I mean, I've always just been really fascinated, especially with like serial killers and cults and like really like dark shit like that. I just get really into it. I don't know. I just kind of had that side of me. I remember back when I used to work stupid 9-to-5 jobs and I'd have to be on a computer as soon as I could, just kind of screw off and read up on, various like, serial killers and crime dramas and big, high profile cases. I would always, abuse the search function and Murderpedia and all these different places to find that kind of stuff. Because it's honestly, I don't know what fascinates me, but about it, but it really does. I just made my way through the Bundy series on Netflix, and that was really good. There was a lot of like information that wasn't necessarily super new, but it's always cool to, they had a lot of stuff that was like firsthand sources, which is pretty neat. And I don't know, Bundy's pretty fascinating for me for sure. But I also watched there was a the Law and Order true crime series on the Menendez brothers that came out a couple of years ago, and I watched that sort of recently, and that was really good. I like mafia stuff too. Like I get into all of it. Boardwalk Empire was great. I don't know, man. I guess something weird about me, but I get into that kind of stuff for sure.
So if you weren't wrestler, would you maybe be steering towards that kind of stuff? Maybe like an investigator,
What,
detective
being
or
a serial
something?
killer? No, I'm kidding. Be honestly, I mean, yeah, or maybe I'd be another like true crime podcaster or something. I don't know, man. I get really into like Last Podcast on the Left, crime and sports, stuff like that. I also listen to The Dollop, but yeah, like I like those kind of true crimey kind of like it honestly could like consume me. It's one of those things where I get like into like a little one search, and before I know it, it's a couple hours later, and I'm in like a little portal link, just getting interested into whatever it is. It is actually really cool being in LA. Like there's so much historically around me. Like I'm, like 10 minutes away from where like the Wonderland murders happened. I'm like 10 minutes away from where like the Elisa Lam case was, or the Elisa Lam occurrence was, which is the same place where Richard Ramirez stayed in the 80s. So like, except for they're redoing it, like they're demolishing it, but whatever. But yeah, no, I get like really, really into that stuff, and it's cool. Like the Museum of Death is like maybe like 5 minutes from my house as well. So I'm definitely looking to go back there and check that out sometime soon as well.
Oh, well, fantastic. That's very cool. So we got a little insight into some other stuff that Roy Sykes likes here.
Yeah, I like true crime, and I like pizza and donuts when I can, which is like really rare. True crime I can get into all the time.
Right.
Other than that though, I'm pretty one track minded with wrestling, to be honest with you.
Gotcha. Oh, well. Well, Royce, I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast. But before I let you go, tell all the listeners if they want to follow up with you, like on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc.
Oh yeah, absolutely. At Roy Sizes on Instagram is probably my favorite social media, because I don't have to listen to all this other BS, and it's just fun pictures. So I suggest following me on there. At Roy Sizes on Twitter, Roy Sizes on Facebook. Although if you add me, gosh, I'm like right near that 5,000 limit, so it's kind of tough. But there is Roy Sizes 111 is my liked page, and I try to update that as much as possible. Also, finally up and running is www.royceisaacs.com. So please, by all means, check that out. That's probably the easiest way to keep up with upcoming actual wrestling dates. So I would recommend that, as well as there's like a link to my YouTube channel, which you can check out, which is just Royce Isaacs. And I try to come out with new content when I can for that, highlights and whatnot. So I guess those would be the best ways to follow me. And there's also links to if you want to check out some merch as well on the website and whatnot. So if you want to support me, I love support. I love money. So holler at me.
Exactly. There's a dollar sign on the end of his name for a reason.
Absolutely. You put a dollar sign on that.
All right. All right, Royce, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks once again.
Yeah, of course. It's always a pleasure, brother.
Once again, a big thank you to Royce Isaacs for coming on to the podcast. It is so nice to talk to him once again. And like he said, he is coming to Rocky Mountain Pro this Thursday to defend the United Wrestling Network Television Championship against Mario Vanger. So that should be a great match. They've had many great battles in the past, and I would suspect that this one is going to be another classic. So before we get to that and talk about the rest of the future in the Wrestling with Altitude area, let's talk about last week. So last week was actually a pretty busy week. We had the Rocky Mountain Pro Ignition and Charge shows Thursday. And let me just keep saying this. Rocky Mountain Pro is doing such a great job doing these weekly shows. You can really show that the writing is coming along, and they're taking the time to really get everything right. And also, on a personal note, I think it's fantastic them being able to now integrate some backstage segments and other segments that are outside of the ring into both the live audience that's attending in person, such as myself, and as well as the Twitch audience as well. So that was great. Then this past Friday, Rocky Mountain Pro, with it being the last Friday of the month, had the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience. 4 hours of fun and games, as the kids can say, and then wrestling there afterwards. This time around, they had the promised sumo suits, and yours personally got to get in one and wrestle another Rocky Mountain super fan. Brian, shout out to Brian, did though win 2 out of 2 falls against him, so I got a free beer. Yay me. And then also they had the Rocky Mountain Pro trivia contest, which I got to participate as well against Brian and another competitor as well. And even though I got all of my questions right, correct, I did not win, but that's okay. It's all about the experience. Get it? So then this past Saturday, Colorado Springs Wrestling held the Colorado United 2 event. As previously mentioned on a previous episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast, it was a fantastic show. It was great to see all these promotions get together and come under one roof to benefit the family of Logan Austin, as well as in memoriam of Christopher Chavez Sr. I have nothing else to say. It was so great that it's hard to single out one little thing about the show. So can't wait to Colorado United 3 next year. But like Royce and I had talked about on the interview part of this podcast, this Thursday, which is in a couple days as of the time of this recording, we have the last Thursday of the month is the Supercharged episode of Rocky Mountain Pro. So this Thursday, Rocky Mountain Pro is holding the Ignition and Supercharged, which is going to have a lot of great matches. As mentioned, Royce is in action against Mario Vanger. And then also we have Anaya is going against Atiba, the current Rocky Mountain Pro champion. Ali Gatto and Rochelle Riveter are facing each other for the vacant Lockettes championship. And much, much more this Thursday. If you want to get tickets, you can get them in advance at rmpwrestling.com. So that is it for this week. Gonna be probably just a little bit of a short show. And that is about it. So once again, thank you all for listening to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast, where pro wrestling is elevated with altitude.